The 2 weeks in Poland were an incredible experience. I'm sure you can ask anyone here who was there. It really was a fantastic experience, an opportunity to see a part of the world for many of us has been kind of a dream. I know for myself, I've always wanted to visit Poland. Now I want to go back and experience more of it. Go spend more time there when there aren't such a big crowd around, when you can kind of get a little more personal with the culture, although we had some opportunity for that as well. We got to see lots of very interesting things, do very interesting things, enjoy the local food and drink, enjoy the experience of being there in Poland, and of course, have the experience of being gathered with 2 million people and the Pope. And that's kind of the important part of this whole trip, is it was a pilgrimage. It wasn't just a great vacation in a wonderful land, getting to experience the culture and so on. It was a pilgrimage. And it was a pilgrimage to gather as Christians, to gather as Catholics under our Pope, to proclaim that we believe in God. It was a wonderful experience. And of course, as part of this pilgrimage, as part of the World Youth Day, Pope Francis spoke, and we were fortunate that they had set up radio stations at the different venues so that those of us, we could bring radios and hear live translations. You know, for those of us that don't speak Polish or Italian, the Pope mostly spoke in Italian, we could hear the translation through the radio. So we could hear what the Pope was saying pretty much real time. As he would say it, it would be translated, and we could understand what he was saying to us, what he was asking of us. And he gave some wonderful talks. In one of them, the one at the vigil, as we're out at this large, they called it Campus Misericordiae, this large field on the edge of Krakow, he gave, there's a vigil the night before the big mass that we were all gathered there for. And he gave this wonderful talk, and it really, that talk fit with our gospel today. And I think it's important to bring it up because this is one of these gospels that we want to explain away, and we often do. I've even fallen into that trap of trying to explain away what our Lord said. But our Lord was very clear in this gospel, and we shouldn't try to explain it away. Instead, it's a gospel that we should allow to challenge us. And the challenge that our Lord is presenting to us is, are we willing to give everything up to trust in God? Are we willing to give up everything we have, everything we are, and trust in God? Are we willing to be like Abraham? Look at Abraham in the second reading in the letter to the Hebrews. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. He went out, not knowing where he was to go. We are called to be like that in our lives. If we truly wish to be disciples of Christ and eventually to enter into the kingdom of heaven, we need to be like Abraham, to trust in God even though we don't know where that's going to lead us. We don't know where God is going to take us. We don't know what God's plans are for our lives. We still need to trust, and we need to be willing to let go of everything to do that. Look at what our Lord says in the gospel in this passage that we want to explain away. Sell your belongings and give alms. Provide money bags for yourselves that do not wear out, an inexhaustible treasure in heaven that no thief can reach nor moth destroy. For where your treasure is, there also will your heart be. Our Lord is calling us to sacrifice what we have and who we are here and now so that we can have an inexhaustible treasure in heaven. He is calling us to sacrifice. But you know what? We don't want to do that. We don't want to sacrifice. We don't want to give up what we have. We want comfort. We want security that we think possessions can bring us. And this is where it leads to what Pope Francis had to say while we were there at that vigil. But in life, there is another, even more dangerous kind of paralysis. It is not easy to put our finger on it. I like to describe it as the paralysis that comes from confusing happiness with a sofa. In other words, to think that in order to be happy, all we need is a good sofa. A sofa that makes us feel comfortable, calm, safe. A sofa like one of those we have nowadays, with a built-in massage unit to put us to sleep. A sofa that promises us hours of comfort so that we can escape to the world of video games and spend all kinds of time in front of a screen. A sofa that keeps us safe from any kind of pain and fear. A sofa that allows us to stay home without needing to work at or worry about anything. Pope Francis coined a phrase for this. He calls it sofa happiness. And it's very accurate because as he says, little by little, without even realizing it, we start to nod off, to grow drowsy and dull. Now, for many of us, maybe it's not a sofa that causes us to have that feeling of comfort and security, safety. Maybe it's some other possessions. You know, we all have more possessions than we need. I would maybe not all of us, but I would venture the vast, vast majority of us have all the possessions that we need for survival. We have food, we have clothing, we have shelter. You know, if you've ever studied Maslow's hierarchy of needs, it's this pyramid of needs that the very basic is just to survive. Just to have food, clothing, and shelter. Those are the basic needs that we have. And then it goes from there. Well, many of us, we're very high on that hierarchy of needs. We have more than enough that we need to survive, and we're well into the wants and desires. We don't worry about our day-to-day survival. We're more concerned about the things that we want. And this is what Pope Francis is challenging us against, because having those things we want can lead us to be comfortable. They can lead us to feel safe because we have all these things that we want. You know, maybe we have, you know, entertainment systems. We have multiple TVs and nice sound systems in our houses so we can sit and watch TV and enjoy the experience. Maybe we have multiple vehicles. This is one I'm guilty of, that we have more vehicles than we really need. And we do that, oh, because it brings us security. It brings us comfort to know that we have these multiple vehicles, or we can use vehicles for different purposes. Maybe we have a cabin on the lake or at the mountain or a vacation home or a winter home that we can go to when we need to just get away, or an RV and a boat that we can use down at the lake, or so on. You know, have all these possessions that bring us comfort, and we just can't live without them when we really can. And there, Pope Francis warns us that there's a danger to having these possessions that make us feel comfortable, that make us feel safe. He says, "Dear young people, we didn't come into this world to vegetate, to take it easy, to make our lives a comfortable sofa to fall asleep on. No, we came for another reason, to leave a mark. It is very sad to pass through life without leaving a mark. But when we opt for ease and convenience, for confusing happiness with consumption, then we end up paying a very high price indeed. We lose our freedom." Now, it's very interesting that Pope Francis chose that, to say that we lose our freedom by having these possessions that make us comfortable. Because he said it in a place where freedom was at risk for a very long time. Freedom was non-existent for a very long time. In fact, 30 years ago, an event like World Youth Day would have never happened in Poland, because the communist rulers would never have allowed it. There was a restriction on freedom. People could not practice their freedom, their religion. They were restricted to whatever the communists would allow. And the communists were atheists. They actually built a place, a town that was to be the communist paradise. And in very heavily Catholic Poland, the one thing this communist paradise did not have was a church. And yet the Polish people wanted a church. So they would build a giant crucifix on the edge of town. And the communists would knock it down. And they would build it up again and again and again. Of course, Pope John Paul II, a son of Poland, now Saint John Paul II, was elected in 1978 as Pope. A year later, in 1979, he went to Poland as his first official visit back in that country after being elected. And he was gathered in a square, or gathered a bunch of people together, probably in a situation not that different from what we were in, by gathering in a field. And he was speaking to the Polish people that were gathered there. And they started to chant, "We want God. We want God. Well, in Poland, in communist Poland, that was a death sentence to do that. To publicly proclaim your faith in that way, especially challenging the Polish communist officials, was a death sentence. And yet the crowd was too big. They couldn't control it. And so the people chanted, "We want God." Little did the communist officials know that their time was coming, that the timer was started. Soon, Polish communism, within 10 years, Polish communism was done. And now Poland is a free nation. They have the same freedoms that we have here, and they enjoy those freedoms. And it is a growing nation, and it's still a very faithful nation. That's the kind of mark we are called to make in our world. That 10 years, they went from communist rule to freedoms. We can make that kind of mark here in our nation that seems to be going the other way, that seems to be restricting our freedoms, that seems to be restricting our practice of the religion, that seems to be getting away from God. The Polish people said, "We want God," and it seems like our nation says, "We don't want God." We are called to make a mark in this country to bring God back, to ensure that our nation has the freedoms that the Polish people fought for, that our country was founded on. That's the kind of mark we are called to have. Not to be comfortable, not to allow our possessions, our lives to make us comfortable, but to go out and make that mark for God. And so the question we should be asking ourselves is, when is the last time we ever sacrificed something that is dear to us for God and His church? When is the last time we looked at, we were going to buy something that we wanted and we said, "No, we can give that money to God. We can give that money to the church. We can give that money to ensure that the gospel is proclaimed"? When is the last time we've ever done that? Each of us as individuals have done that. I would venture to say for most of us, never. We have never said, "I am willing to give up something that I want more than life itself for God." And yet that is our call. That is our call as Christians, to sacrifice from ourselves and to go out. Pope Francis says, "Jesus is not the Lord of comfort, security, and ease. Following Jesus demands a good dose of courage, a readiness to trade in the sofa for a pair of walking shoes, and to set out on the new and uncharted paths." We are called to set out and to trust God and to follow Him, regardless of where that may lead us. And that is the call for each and every one of us. In another place in this talk, Pope Francis says that we are not to be bench warmers, but that we are to be active players on the field. Each and every one of us is called to be active players on the field. And if we are not willing to sacrifice for God, we are being bench warmers. We need to be active. We need to go out there and to be like the Polish church that demanded God in their lives. We need to do the same. We need to go out there and proclaim that good news of the gospel which we have found and which we still have the freedom in this nation to proclaim publicly. And we need to defend that freedom as well. So our call as disciples, our call as followers of Christ seeking the kingdom of God, is first and foremost to put our trust in Him, to sacrifice ourselves for Him, and then finally to go out and leave a mark for God.